God, we certainly give everyone welcome tonight. It's really a privilege to have our brother George Martin with us from South Africa and Pastor Andrew. We had this note put in the firm out a bit quick before Brother Gary got to read it, but I want us to pray for this man before Brother George comes, and then maybe we can sing a course of only believe as Brother comes. There's a prayer request for Brad McComb. He's going in Tuesday to have his heart stopped and restarted to their regular beat. And Brad McComb, tell you what I want us to do is call this man Brad McComb. I'm going to leave this here. I want us to just sing that chorus, Only Believe, and I want Brother George to come as we sing. And I want him to pray for this man. Brad McComb, praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'll take your liberty, brother.
Bless you, my brother. I've always had the liberty here. God bless you. Amen. Let us sing Only Believe before we pray. You're leading, my brother. Precious Brother Brian. Heavenly Father, you have heard the prayer request. On behalf of our brother, we intercede. Even as the scripture says, pray the prayer of intercession one for the other. Lord, you made man. You made the heart. You know exactly what to do right now. Even as the doctors do what they can do, we want to trust you. On behalf of our brother, bless him, I pray, and undertake. We want to also pray for our precious brother, McKinstry, our pastor here, that you may bless him, bless his wife, his family, bless the health and government that help run this church. Thank you, Lord, that we can still have sweet moments of fellowship,
amen,
one with the other.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, you know the need of the people. I don't. But I come like that little lad who had but a few loaves of bread and fishes. Lord, you take these, multiply them, and feed the multitude accordingly. Arrest my human spirit, so that the Holy Ghost may have free sway.
Amen.
We honor and glory, we pray, for all ministering brothers within the sanctuary.
Amen.
That you bless them also in a special way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all shall agree by saying,
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not sure if you project scriptures as well. All right. Can the brother give me Matthew 17? While he's doing so, Brother McKinstry, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for opening the door. It's not easy these days to step aside and give the pulpit to any man. So I will not betray such great trust. I trust that I'll be a blessing to the flock.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 17, let us read verse 10 through to 13. This is going to be my title. Why then do the scribes say? But my theme is going to be understanding misunderstandings.
Amen.
Amen.
My title is going to be Why then do the scribes say? And my theme is going to be understanding misunderstandings. My calling is teaching, but I'm a pastor as well. So tonight I'm going to be pastoral. Let us read together. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore. say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, misunderstanding, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Amen.
May God add blessing to the reading of his word. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats while I remain standing. This is my 18th service since I've arrived. I've been preaching almost every second night, so bear with my voice, it's a little croaky, just like McKinney Street. That makes it two of us. God bless you. Allow me just to relax my nerves a little bit. I'm always nervous before I preach. The prophet says if you ever lose that, you need the altar. Amen.
Amen.
I'm always happy to come into a church that sings, loves the Lord. They are exuberant in whatever they are doing. Amen.
Amen.
I said this morning that there are always three groups. You always find your Pharisees. They are the ones in the message when you say, God is here, God is moving. They say, oh no, far I see it coming. In other words, it's not happening, it's still coming. Those are your Pharisees. Then you have others, no matter how much the brothers strum on the guitars and try to enliven the service, they're always sad, you see. But I'm glad to be among another group that comes from, I was glad when they said. The Lord and express their love. I'm here to lift up the hands of our precious brother Branham, the brother Branham called McKinstry. Amen. Like Aidan and her, let us lift his hands up.
Amen.
Because when the pastor's hands are down, I'm talking metaphorically, the church is defeated. Amen. But lift brother McKinstry's hands up.
Amen.
In this battle he needs.
Amen.
He needs each and every one of you. We live in perilous times. The devil is attacking the message like never before. And if he can down the pastor, he scatters the sheep. Amen? So we want to stand behind our precious brother Brandon McKinstry, that God may strengthen you. Remember, he is as strong as you pray for his wife also. Amen? Remember, the wife is the silent partner. She's always in the background. But she takes the knocks, says Brother. So pray for our pastors, their wives and families, and I'm sure God will reward us handsomely. Now, brother, I realize I left my glasses in the study room, so I'm going to have to preach by faith. It's all right. It's okay. I'm going to have to preach by faith. I can see well at a distance, but I can't see at short notice. So pray for me that God may give me grace. Now remember, our title is Why Then Say the Scribes? This scripture we've read tonight is most misunderstood by denominational people as well as Pentecostals. It is because this scripture is a twofold scripture. Number one, they're asking because they hear him say, I'm about to be delivered. I'm about to be taken away from you. Scripture must be fulfilled. Of course, they don't understand at all that the lamb must go to Calvary. So to prove that even the sincerest of believers can miss the program of God, look how far down the line they are. The lamb must go to Calvary, and they're still saying, wait a minute. We are not immune from that. We are apt and prone to always try to put God in a straitjacket. That before this happens, God must do this and this and this and this. And in the light of the resurrection, that is soon
Amen.
Elijah has already come and they didn't even know it was John the Baptist. That's how simple it is sometimes.
Amen.
So when they say, but was there not supposed to be an Elijah? Look what Jesus does. He then prophesies to Brother Brennan.
Amen.
He says, but Elijah truly shall in future in my poor English.
Amen. That's right.
If you say shall while you're standing here, you are talking about it is still coming.
Right.
Elijah truly shall first come, and he speaks of the restoration, and he puts a full stop. It's a complete prophecy.
Amen.
They did not know who that Elijah was that was to come. Because they didn't know at that time, like we know today, that the spirit of Elijah comes five times.
Amen.
So he placed the fourth Elijah. Then he turned around to address their question. He says, as for this Elijah that you have already missed,
amen.
He has come.
Amen.
They did unto him as they listened. When he spoke about he has come and they have killed him, now you apply the verse that then understood they.
Amen.
They did not understand when he said Elijah shall come. They didn't know who that is.
Amen.
So Jesus spoke of two Elijahs at the same time.
Amen.
One to come,
yes,
and another that had come.
Amen.
And these sincere, very lovely saints caught between the third and the fourth Elijah to come after the ministry of the Son of Man had misunderstood. Are you agreeing with me?
Amen.
Had not realized that Elijah, their Elijah, had already come. That is why the scripture says in Acts 2:1, we won't read all the scriptures except when I say, let us read this one. That's why in Acts 2, verse 1, the Bible takes the pain to tell us they were not only in one place in the upper room. They had to be in one accord.
Amen.
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 And in message churches, we can all gather in mind. 1,000 people come every Sunday. We gather in one place.
Amen.
But I cannot guarantee that we are all in one accord.
Amen.
I cannot guarantee that we are all in one mind until the Holy Ghost comes down and takes over.
Amen.
And that's what we are trusting God to do tonight.
Amen.
To have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Because while I have my mind, you have yours. We are bound to clash somewhere down the line. We are bound to misunderstand each other because of the different minds.
Yeah.
It behooves us to come and have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The prophet of God says in Melchizedek, that's 1955, not the 65 one, 1955, paragraph 65, he says, people move in three realms. He says we have the humanistic level. That's where most misunderstandings occur. People come in, walk out of church, the same way they came in, the same way they walk out. And such people are apt to misunderstand Brother McKinsey. Such people are apt to misunderstand Brother Moran. Because he preaches on another level while they remain on the humanistic level. We are not immune from misunderstanding like the disciples of old. He says that on the second realm is the realm of revelation. How I pray God to lift us up to that realm. It's a little better on that realm than the previous one.
Amen.
At least when we are all together on the realm of revelation,
amen,
revelation is a sovereign gift of God.
Amen.
Only He gives it.
Yes.
And we have come to learn that even with so much revelation and abundance, we still have that doctrine and that doctrine and that doctrine. These are pulling this way and the others are pulling the other way.
Amen.
So it behooves us to find out what the third realm is.
Amen.
And the prophet says that's the realm of thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And the realm of vision.
Amen.
Once we come into that third realm and it's thus saith the Lord, there's no more argument.
Amen.
God has sent us.
Amen.
I'm going to take a few illustrations in sir. I'm waiting for my change. And the Chinese man is pecking away doing this. He said, excuse me, sir. I'm waiting for my change. And the Chinese man, you know, comes up, cups his hand, he says, my dear sir, change comes from within. Change comes from within. Such misunderstandings are everywhere. I don't know what your main national road is here. M1, M6, what do they call them here? Well, in South Africa we call them M National Road 1. They are the super highways. A granny of 82 is driving down the M1, whatever, A, whatever, and she's going per hour in the 70 zone. Naturally, the metro cop, traffic cop, whatever you call it, comes whizzing by with a blue light on, pulls alongside, you know, next to the driver's side, speaks through the loud hail of bullhorn. Why? Because the granny's knitting while she's driving. Her glasses are down here. The metro cop says, she winds down the window. She says, no, my son, it's a jersey. We are laughing, but I'm making my point, ain't I?
Amen.
That misunderstandings are on every level.
Amen.
Whether you're in a restaurant or you're driving down the highway, somebody is bound to misunderstand. Sometimes we even we read that the voice of God called the young prophet. I'm emphasizing the word young. He's still maturing. God calls him. He gets up, he misunderstands, and he runs to Eli. Amazingly, Eli himself hasn't caught it yet. The boy goes to sleep, and we know three times God called him. And the third time he runs to Eli, misunderstanding still. And then Eli catches it.
Amen.
Only at the third time.
Wow.
Then Eli says, if you hear that voice, speak again. Say, speak, my Lord.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So sometimes the grace of God in his long suffering will keep calling and calling. We might keep misunderstanding, but I bring you good news tonight. If you are elect, you will surely break through.
Amen.
You will get it. My brother gave us John 1:29. Here is another proof of what we are saying tonight. The Bible says in John 1:29, when John introduced Christ, it says the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. We are not told of any excitement. But give me verse 35. Verse 35 says, again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples. Give me the next verse. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. What? Verse 37. And the two disciples had him speak, and they followed Jesus.
Amen.
Why did he have to repeat?
Amen.
Why did he have to repeat it the next day and only the next day?
Amen.
They heard it and followed Jesus.
Amen.
You wonder why sometimes Brother McKinsey, Brother Andrew and them, they preach this sermon, they've read the scripture, they have read this quote last month. Sometime next month they read the same scripture, they read the same quote, and you are sitting there saying, well, I thought I'm coming to hear something new. something new are you looking for until you get the first thing?
Amen.
There's a reason why. God hates vain repetition. He just doesn't hate repetition.
Yeah.
Am I talking to Bible readers here?
Yeah.
God hates vain repetition. He doesn't hate repetition if it's the word.
Amen.
But it's all over in the scriptures. That is for our own good.
Amen.
God repeats it once, twice, thrice. Again the next day. Then you have a reaction. After he catches the second time, the Bible says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now you are getting results.
Amen.
You didn't get this result yesterday when he said, behold the Lamb of God. They had missed it somewhat. So it behooves us to be on guard. When Jesus says, destroy this temple, now let's demonstrate. I've been to Israel over 30 times. I do tours every year. We are going again this year. They are standing and looking at the Temple of Solomon, which Herod has beautified. The most beautiful building of the time. They are showing him this spire. They are showing him the stairs over there. Look at the columns, the pillars. He stands there, he doesn't point, he just stands there, and he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rear it up again. Look how they misunderstood.
Amen.
The Bible clearly says that even Jesus' own disciples understood the statement after the resurrection.
Amen.
His own.
Amen.
Amen.
So don't tell me I'm in the message, I've got it all. I know there will be things you will misunderstand. Because the blueprint is over there that they misunderstood. We have to be very sure that we are led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Here's a warning of light and sound. They could afford Bethlehem to catch it after the resurrection. We can't afford it. Because to catch the revelation after the bride is raptured, you're in the tribulation.
Amen.
So it is more we can't afford to misunderstand willy-nilly. We have looked on the picnic.
Amen.
The bride is getting ready to leave, to go home.
Amen.
So help us, Lord.
Amen.
They misunderstood. We find another misunderstanding in John 11. I'm just going to quote. If you read very carefully about Martha and Mary, the early days, the Bible will tell you that it is Martha who was always working. Do I have it right, Pastor? And it was Mary who was at the feet of Jesus. Is that right? And the first picture appears so spiritual. Mary at the feet of Jesus. Even Jesus says to Martha, well, your sister has chosen the things of eternal life while you are in the humanistic level. Are we still together?
Amen.
Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, you have come by yourself with many humanistic things. Your sister has chosen the second level.
Amen.
The level of revelation.
Hallelujah.
But the picture doesn't always remain the same. Now we come to the death of their brother, Lazarus. Many people are not aware that the name Lazarus is an abbreviation of Eliezer. In Hebrew, Eleazar. Short of Eleazar, Lazar. English, Lazarus. So the brother's name was Eliezer. He dies. Let me share with you why the prophet says the Bible is an oriental book. To approach it with a Western mind is to invite misunderstanding. Let's take our first example. Let us go back a little bit to the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. When Jesus resurrects the little girl, we don't read of any excitement, fanfare, no. In fact, we read that some people laughed when Jesus Jesus says she sleepeth, they laugh. You have to understand the Oriental mind. Back then, the Jews believed that as long as the body is not corrupted, the person isn't truly dead. Jesus knew their thinking. He left them. The second time you read about the widow's son of Nain. Jesus waits, the boy dies, he is washed, salted, and bound. The boy is being taken to the gravesite when Jesus stops the funeral procession.
Hallelujah.
And he resurrects the boy.
Amen.
Well, they shrug their shoulders and say, okay, maybe, yeah, he was in his second day of death, and maybe 2.5 corruption hadn't taken place, so, well, we don't know. He says, all right, he waits. Lazarus dies. You're going to appreciate this.
Amen.
Now you understand why Jesus didn't come the first day, the second, nor the third.
Amen.
He waited for the body to corrupt.
Amen.
Until one of the sisters, Martha, said, Lord, by now he stinks.
Amen.
Those verses may have not meant anything to you until you understand the Oriental mind. Sorry, too late. He stinks by now. I'm going to share with you a beautiful thing right here. It is now Martha who runs out of the house ahead of Mary to meet Jesus. Their roles have been turned now. It is Mary who remains in the house sulking because the master has come on the fourth day. The very Martha that we thought is living on the humanistic realm, she's the one running to meet the Lord, saying, by now he stinks, but watch now, roles have changed. But had you been here, my brother would not have died. Then the Lord Jesus, being in the third realm, says, but your brother shall rise again. Why? He's seen the vision. Can you see those levels? Therefore, we are not immune today if the Holy Ghost doesn't take a hold of us. Jesus had to bring them back and said, but your brother shall rise. I am the resurrection. When Jesus calls Lazarus back to life, read it for yourself. He says, and many Jews believed on him. That he got the glory. I have read these verses like you have for many years, but it's since I'm doing says if you can, a few visits across the sea to the land of the Bible will make the Bible a new book to you.
Amen.
Mother doctrine is just to help. So many Jews, why? Because now he conquered their thinking. He proved to them that whether corrupted or not corrupted, I can bring life back into the body.
Amen.
But the misunderstanding. When they said, Lord, but he will rise in the last days, he says, I am the resurrection now. And in John 12, we come across yet another misunderstanding. Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. And God answers from the heavens, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the Bible says, others said, when God spoke back, others said, it thundered. What's those levels? They heard a sound. Humanistic level said, it thundered. Another group, a little higher, they said, an angel spake to him. But Jesus in the third round said, this voice.
Amen.
We need to trust God to lift us up. We need to trust God to lift us up. Or else we will remain on the mundane. Did you hear that poetry? We will remember. Amen. The same thing with the thundering happens when the prophet is out there in Sunset Mountain with the brothers. The prophet picks up the rock, chucks it up into the air, comes on causing the suction. Whirlwind follows, it claps three times. The brothers, all they heard was three loud claps. You see that humanistic level? But the prophet, being in that realm of vision, and thus said the Lord, he heard the clearest.
Amen.
Judgment strikes West Coast.
Amen.
Amen.
This is 1964. Right. And that very Easter, first earthquake hits Anchorage, Alaska. Easter time.
Yeah.
First clap. Next year, 1965, same time, Easter time. Second clap. Earthquake hits Seattle. God has kept the third clap for Los Angeles. He has held it back because we have to come in.
Amen.
Where was I in 1964? 1964? I was 12 years old. I was shooting marbles. What did I know about a prophet and a message? But my name is in the letter book. So was yours.
Amen.
So God had to hold back the third cup of thunder, the sinking of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So all that time, don't you think God is expecting of us to be up there?
Amen.
Because in 2 years' time, it'll be 50 years since. Huh? Maybe in a year or so, I don't know. But it'll be 50 years since the clap. Yeah, next year will be 50 years. This year is 50 years since the angels came down. Surely, surely, my brothers and sisters, we appreciate the fact that 50 is Jubilee.
Yeah, man.
50 is the release.
Amen. Yes, amen.
We should start saying, Lord, even so, come, Lord.
Yeah.
Misunderstandings. What about give me John 6, my brother? When Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man,
hallelujah,
and drink his blood, and give me verse 66 of John 6.
Amen.
Look at the misunderstanding. They thought he meant physical eating, cannibalism.
Amen.
The Bible says even his church split. Elders left him. But watch where it is recorded in John 6:66. From that time, many unbelievers. I'm testing your reading now. Now they say many unbelievers.
Disciples.
Many disciples.
Amen.
Many disciples went back and walked no more with him. But it is hidden in John 6:66. To walk away from the message of the Son of Man is to take the 666.
Amen.
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 It's uncoded. It's hidden. But they misunderstood. What about John 13? There are so many. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Now, Peter is sitting there thinking, tradition dictates that he washed feet and hands before he eats. What is he doing now? We have eaten. Now after we have eaten, now he wants to wash our feet. What thing is this? He's misunderstanding. And Jesus has to say to him, what I do thou knowest not now.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Hallelujah.
What I do, my brother, give me 2 Samuel 11. You've got to give me 2 Samuel 11, 8. To prove what Jesus meant when he said, what I do now, washing your feet after. You don't understand this mystery.
Hallelujah.
David knows what he has done to Bathsheba. We've got children here, so I've got to veil it. Bathsheba is not all that innocent, says Brother Brennan.
Yes.
And again, here we go.
Yes.
You have to understand the Oriental mind.
Amen.
The Oriental mind is when a woman receives her visitation of the reds. I must veil it for the children. According to the law of Moses, she should separate herself and not be touched. Not even touch the governesses, she sits on, etc. listen to me. She knows very well that David hasn't gone home. Here's my witness.
Amen.
David's palace has been discovered by excavations. David's palace is on the hillock, on a ridge. And all the generals and captains, their homes cascade down into the valley. So David has an overview. She knows that because he lives down there. She knows David has a habit of taking a walk in the cool of the evening. She takes a ritual bath outside her house. Veranda. Do you think she's innocent?
No.
The prophet says
no.
No. You see, her name is Baal. Sheba. Her name is?
Baal.
So the way she was taking that bath, gentlemen, ladies, brothers and sisters, I have to speak within the veil, it was indicative of an invitation.
Amen.
What from your everyday morning and evening bath? It's a bath that signifies, I'm ready, take me. But we have to go back to the manuscripts. Who's Bathsheba? The name Bath in Hebrew means maiden, young girl.
Yes.
For a boy you say Ba or Ben. For a young woman you say Ba. That Sheba comes from two Hebrew words. Sheva. Seven. Or Shevoa, the oath.
Amen.
So either she was the seventh child, Ba, Sheva, seventh daughter, or daughter of the oath, whichever still applies. The manuscripts say, when David had just killed Goliath,
amen,
and he came riding in with Saul,
yes,
and the young maidens were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is thousands,
amen,
of tens of thousands. They say one of the maidens was Bathsheba,
amen,
aged 12 at the time.
Yes.
And she said to her friend, and the one who came, who would speak today, and the chariots were passing, she said to the friend, today that Bathsheba was the intended wife of David. Because in the genealogies, Solomon comes through Bathsheba.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And through Solomon and Nathan, the sons of Bathsheba, comes the two lineages of Mary and Joseph.
Amen.
So God testifies that had David waited, had David
waited. Amen.
Talk about wait. This young man crosses a busy road. What's the busiest street? In Scarborough, what's the busiest street? Main Street. This young man is minding his business, walking down Main Street. He's about to cross the road when he hears a voice saying, "Stop! Don't you walk two steps forward!" He freezes, and right in that time, a truck that lost its brakes comes down careening past. He looks at his mother. My life is safe. He walks a little more, a few hours, comes to another busy street where construction is taking place. And the voice says, "Stop! Don't you take one step forward." He stops, and an iron beam falls from above where construction is taking place. Had he walked one step forward, he would have died. He walks some more. And he looks up and he says, "Where were you when I got married?" And the voice replies, "You were three steps ahead of me."
Amen.
That's David, you see. Have David waited on the Lord?
Amen.
Bathsheba would have finally become his wife.
Amen.
But to go kill a man, that's running ahead of God. Is that right?
Yes.
So Bathsheba was not all that innocent.
No.
But now our scripture. And David said to Uriah, they're coming to the washing of feet. It's an Hebrew phrase. It's deep. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to the house, watch and wash thy feet." Read on when you get home.
Amen.
David wakes up the next morning, Uriah's still at the door. David scolds him. close the curtains, don't we? But it didn't work. So Uriah's answer, I'm going to veil it because if I read it, the children might catch it. I'm going to veil it. David says, where have you gone? Wash your feet. He says, how can I go to my house when the army and the ark of God is out there?
Amen.
Must I go home and enjoy the fruits of my tree?
Amen. Hallelujah.
You see, washing feet is deep.
Amen.
So Jesus, when he washed their feet, was the husband to the church.
Hallelujah.
Have I said enough?
Amen.
That's why I said, Peter, you don't know what I'm doing.
Amen.
I am establishing a New Testament church. Wait.
Amen.
So when you wash feet, brothers and sisters, it's not to remove grime, dirt and oil from your brother or sister's feet. You've got to do it by revelation.
Amen.
You see Christ in your brother, Christ in your sister.
Amen.
You see yourself as a potential bride wife.
Amen.
So when you wash their feet, you know what you're doing to the Christ in them.
Amen.
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 But in my church, I'm very careful. The deacons are washing when you wash feet. If every brother washes another brother's feet for 15 minutes, we have trouble. Is that right? If a sister's going to wash another sister's feet for 50 minutes, we have trouble. And I thank God that God sent the prophet, brother, don't wash sister's feet, or else they'll be washing your feet till the next day. The wisdom of God. So Peter misunderstood the foot washing. Can you see how easy it is to misunderstand the plan and program of God? What about Jesus saying? When they said, what about John? If you are leaving, what about John? The Bible says John was a beloved disciple who often leaned in the bosom of Jesus. There's another scripture misunderstood. Those out there, I don't know how the laws are here in Ireland, UK, but in my country you can't call them what they are. They are protected by the law. So the Lord has given me a new term which is not yet in their books. If it's not a she and it's not a him, it's a shim. It's my own word. So the shims out there are saying, where is the scripture, Jesus and John, Jerusalem and all? There's David and there's Jonathan. David saying, your love, the love I have for you surpasses that of women. Wait a minute, I'll go back to the original manuscript. The original manuscript says, the love is not like the love a man has for a woman. It's not eros.
Yeah.
It is a vow which is filial. Give God glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, Jesus and John, you have to go back to the Hebrew. The Hebrew does not mean literally in his bosom. It's the way they recline when they eat. Jesus' head would be this way. John's head will be that way, very close, and in Hebrew it's called bosom. Not literally, hey, my brother. Not that. Amen?
Amen.
So, there you go again. Misunderstandings are everywhere. Oh, they're in marriage too. Oh, believe me, they're in marriage too. Especially when the marriage is still young. Oh, my goodness. Especially after church, you get home, you're a young couple. I have an illustration that happened in my church. I was called in. The sister arriving at home says, I think you've got something going on with Ruth. I hope there's no Ruth here. And defend, and after a while he's firing and I pray for grace, mercy, and charity. She says, oh, so there's three more.
Misunderstanding.
Amen. Are you married, brother? I won't say anything further. God bless you. Misunderstandings are everywhere. They are on two levels.
Amen. Amen.
So misunderstandings are everywhere. God help us to guard against them. In Acts 1 verse 6, before we close, I believe in the message of the hour. I take it from COD 907, in case you didn't know, where the prophet says, now I preach 3, 4, 4.5 hours, because I'm making tapes. He says, but you at the Branham Tabernacle, meaning other preachers, he says, you don't have to go that long. He says, 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, at the most 1:45, the service is over. I obey that, and it works for me. Let another man take you through the wilderness 40 years. That's okay. Let another man stretch the manna until it rots the next day. That's okay. Because sometimes you can ruin. So I'm rounding up now. I've been setting this all up because there are two quotations I'm going to close with. The first quotation has been running like wild when Pope Benedict XVI resigned. It was everywhere. But give me another five, we'll get there. Misunderstandings are everywhere. Here is a classic example that has happened in the message. I won't say who the characters are, but I think Brother Branham McKinsey, Brother Andrew, and them may know. The brother is in other brothers. They're out there. And the brother, with a solemn face, says, brothers, I have a confession to make. And everybody looks at each other and says, what? A confession coming from a man such as this? They start cleaning out their ears and listening. And he says, the best part of my life I have spent in the arms of another man's wife. And the brother gets up and he takes a walk. Oh my God. Those brothers who heard it, they concur. Put your heads together. Can it be Susie? No, I think it's Margaret. And they're going on. And 30 minutes later, the man comes back. He says, as for my confession, that woman in whose arms I have spent the most part of my life is my mother when she was raising me up. What a turn! But you see, he allowed that so he could show them that we are quick to misunderstand. We are quick to come to a conclusion. And most of our conclusions are wrong. But most message people do not participate in physical exercise. So they are quick to jump to conclusions. That's all the jumping they need. God help us. Amen?
Amen.
God help us, brothers and sisters. I'm going to skip this and that for next time. When the message found me 40 years ago, February of 1973, it's a long story, I'll cut it short. The first message that I heard was the seed is not air with a shock. Oh, even now, 40 years later, I know what happened to this heart. I have never heard a voice that spoke to my heart that way. I didn't understand everything he said, but there was something in that voice that turned me.
Amen.
So I requested the book. Because I remember more after I've read and underlined. So I said, can I get the book? They said, well, these books are scarce, but we'll organize you a copy. I've got a copy. So Antwerp, I'm a telephone technician by trade, by the way. Worked 7 years for Siemens, German company. So breakthrough, tea time, lunch, I'm reading this book with an eagle on the back. My supervisor, Kopansky, was from Russian, German origin, passes by, says, George, what's that you're reading? What's that bear on the book? I said, sir, it's an eagle. He says, can I take a look at the book? I said, sure. And it's about going home time. He said, you can bring it back tomorrow morning. He says, okay. Next morning he comes this way. I don't want to use the Bible. He comes and he throws the book at my desk. Mr. Kopansky, what's up? He says, this man calls me a barnyard chicken. I said, that's strange. He calls me an eagle. Can you see how, from the same message,
amen,
I get my portion,
amen,
he gets his portion. So what do you hear when you hear the prophet speak?
Amen.
Amen? What do you hear? One place you will see, John was forbidden to write those thunders. Another place in the seals, 1-8, he says, we will find out after a while, the Lord willing, where those thunders are written. They are in here. You take the two statements. People are still struggling worldwide. I was to say the thunders are not known, they are not written. And the same prophet turns around and says, but we will find out after a while, the Lord willing. So misunderstanding sometimes emanating, coming from the very statements, is how he is now. Now let me read that quote you've been waiting for. I've been speaking 50 minutes. I'm about to close. I'm very sure that many of you already know what the quote is. It's from Acts of the Holy Spirit. I can't see paragraph, but I know it's page 12. Paragraph 87. I can't read it because the letters are small, but I'm going to quote. Not verbatim, but this is what he said. One of these glorious days, you're going to find out he was referring to 1963. The glorious days when the Ecumenical Movement Confederation of Churches came together and agreed to reunite and squeeze those who don't. One of these glorious days, Vatican Council 1 and 2 was fulfilled. One of these glorious days, when the Confederation of Churches come together, and that new Pope is brought out of America.
Amen.
It will drive the Church of God together.
Amen.
You know that statement has gone around the world when Benedict resigns. Almost every preacher was saying, quote, the next pope may have to come out of America. And if it does come out of America, get yourselves ready. We are going home. We are just like the disciples of Jesus 2,000 years ago. We think we understand that statement. Now let's look at it. When the prophet says new pope, it's because at the time he's speaking, the present pope who was Pius the 12th will be considered old when the new one comes. So who are the new pope that followed Pius the 12th? John the 23rd. And all of the tapes, Brother Benham is excited when that pope takes over. He says, have you heard what this patriarch pope has just said? He is the first one to speak about uniting the brethren. Why? He's referring to the vision of 54. Spirit, let me read it to you verbatim, if I can. He says, I've got a paper cutting, a newspaper cutting, that a brother sent me the other day from Arizona. The brother wrote on top of the paper cutting, newspaper cutting, it's later than we think, Brother Brennan. And the paper cutting speaks of this Pope John the 22nd, or whatever you call him. He knew that it's not 27th, but
uniting the brethren, may not come now, but in another 15, 20 years or so, it'll be here. I thought, boy, you being a patriarch, you are prophesying, and you don't even know. Can you see that?
Amen.
The brother wrote, Brother Brennan, didn't you speak this years ago? Brother Brennan, didn't you speak this years ago? Brother Brennan paused. He says, you see, the brother had been listening to tapes.
Yeah.
I replied, yes, brother, sure, it is coming to pass.
Amen. Amen.
Page 33, way of a true prophet. It is coming to pass. In stature of a perfect man, partner 377, the prophet then says, Pope John the 23rd, there he corrects it and says it right. But that Pope suddenly died. Somebody died. Just brought forward the idea, the denominations agreed, before they could implement it, he died. They needed a quick replacement. Guess who the replacement was? Pope Paul the 6th. We are closing about 5. Pope Paul the 6th was the one that so excited the prophet, tape on the tape, because before he left Rome to go to Jerusalem, the moon, God spoke in the heavens.
Yes.
Like when this Francis, before they made him Pope, God spoke from the heavens. Lightning struck the basilica.
Yes.
What lightning is this? I saw Satan.
Yes.
Like lightning.
Amen.
Fall from heaven.
Yes.
We live in perilous times, brother. Let us not misunderstand. Brother, you'll agree with me on this one. The Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
That Pope, who when he left Rome, the moon blacked out. He went to Israel. Guess what? He visited 13 sites.
Yes.
1-3. One of the sites, the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
They were going to let him walk on the water. But their contraptions failed. These people are cunning, they are blasphemous. They were going to build a kind of a ramp a little below the water and let the Pope walk, and the people on the shore would think he's walking on the water. Can you imagine how bold Satan is in his life? But God wouldn't allow them.
Amen.
The contraptions failed. They said, no, no. So he then stood on the seashore of Galilee, which is 13 by 13 kilometers. Can you see the 13?
Yeah.
The very Pope then went to America. Can you see the part of the vision?
Amen.
When he is brought out, it means he must first come in and then leave.
Yes.
The vision is fulfilled, Pope.
Amen.
The prophet got so excited because he knows the vision is running.
Yeah.
He told the brother so. He gets so excited. In page 13, are you listening?
Amen.
Of the rapture. He just has you notice when that Pope left Jerusalem to come to America. He walked 13 steps.
Amen.
He gave communion to 13 people.
Hallelujah.
He spoke 13 words in
wow.
it. And he was at Yankee Stadium 13 hours. The prophet says, in America.
Amen.
Revelation 13. Why was the prophet so excited over a Pope?
Yeah.
Like some people were saying, wow, why are people so excited about Benedict design and we don't have the next Pope? We have to be excited. Because the last one has to come someday. And when we are fastened to the feet, it will trigger something in the brain. That third Pope will have to come into manifestation.
Amen.
Already have it now. In word form.
Amen.
Now it must be ignited.
Yes.
The prophet got so excited.
Amen.
Some people say, give me another quote, brother, before you close. Where else did the prophet say the vision is fulfilled? Church ages.
Amen.
I'm going to give you the page. In the church age message, way at the end, the prophet of God is going to tell you in page 357. 1965.
He says, did you notice when that Pope came to America? He says, watch his name, Paul. He says, can you imagine a man assuming the name of Paul, a great messenger? He says, the sixth number of men. He stops, says, that's it. That's it, what? The vision of 1954. I'm going to close on a high note now. These popes always come with their real names. Is that right? Then they assume a name by which they must be called. Like this pope, Jorge Mario Bergoglio. I'm giving another sermon and witnesses from our church how we heard these initials from Shalom 1964. I stood before the church. Some people say, where are the signs and wonders? They may not be in greater measure like Brother Branham, but every church in the message can testify of what God is doing. Yeah. I'm not saying this so that George Martin, now 40 years I've learned that this does not work. Yeah. This works. Yeah. I stood before the church. I said, it will not be a black pope from Ghana. I said, Lord have mercy if it's from Nigeria, because they had one from Nigeria. You know what I said? I said, Lord have mercy if they choose Cardinal Arinze. I said, a 419 pope? But I said, I've got witnesses. I had a dream. I have witnesses. I said, it will not be a black pope. So the church looked at me kind of quizzical, because all the papers were saying, black president, why not black pope? You know how they went on, man? So to stand before your church and say, one B, you're an oddball. But I'd had a dream on top of that. And I'd seen a white man with his arms folded, very grave looking, coming in a gray warship, not a cruise liner, warship. I did not know his face. When I looked at the faces that were bending above, you were not among them. That's why they say he came from behind. He's a surprise pope. Let us say to the church, 1 week before they elected the pope, nobody knew. I said, go and listen to Shalom, 1964. I said, I think I'm hearing the prophet giving us the initials. Everybody went through that. Can I give it two testimonies? Then I call the pastor.
Amen.
You all know that Brother Billy Paul, our beloved brother, was diagnosed with some form of cancer, right?
Amen.
And the doctor said, well, that's it.
Amen.
Gather your things, get your life right, that's it. Billy Paul became desperate. On the way to work, if I've heard the testimony right, he slotted in a tape, maybe CD, whatever, I don't know. And there was the prophet preaching the seventh seal. And toward the end of the state, if my wording is correct, don't be technical now. Brother Bannon said something to this effect. Don't you worry, Billy. You've been by my side all these years with prayer card and all. Don't you be worried what the doctor says, your cancer is healed. Billy Paul said, wait a minute. But it was on this one.
Hallelujah.
God can speak to you.
Amen.
As an individual.
Amen.
A Chinese sister in the Brown Temple. She has a life and death decision to make. She's run out of time. Somebody says to her, go to the tape meeting. Tape meeting. She sits in the Brown Temple, almost three rows from the back. She's listening to the prophet. He's preaching, he's preaching, he's preaching. Somewhere in the sermon, she hears the prophet say, yes, you Chinese sister in the temple. Yes, you.
Amen.
So many rows from the front or from the back, and that's exactly where she is. That's said the Lord. This is this. She shouts.
Amen.
The rest of the message, people clean them. You know, there's a tape.
from. So at the end of the service, they say, "What's up? What is happening to my death and life decision that I have to make? I heard the prophet say this." They didn't hear a thing. God cares.
Amen.
If you come to my church, and you're welcome. We have an elder. His name is Julian Klein, and his wife's name is Juliana. She has a back problem. And it is degenerating every time. They drive 2 hours to church, she has to sit in that car, and her back hurts. They're at home, they put on the tape. Husband and wife hear the prophet saying, "Yes, Sister Juliana Klein,
amen,
your back problem is healed."
Amen.
And look at each other, they rewind the tape, he says it again, they rewind the tape, he says it again. The brother runs to the study to get the book, to see if it is in the book. It's not in the book.
Amen.
Our God came.
Amen.
So when the time came, and this pope was elected, I said, "Now there it is, look at his initials. Jorge for George, Spanish. Jorge J. Mario, Marion. Look how close they come. Begoli. JMB. Go back to the tape. Listen only when God turns the key. How did you hear it, Brother George?" "I kept hearing the prophet say, 'Pope! Jerusalem! Move! Break off! JMB.'"
Amen.
Giovanni, I beg your pardon, Pope Paul VI. His real name, are you ready? His real name is Giovanni Battista. John the Baptist. That devil is bold. Yes, Brother Branham, the true John the Baptist, who's forerunning the second coming, and the devil runs with another, having the same name, Giovanni Battista. Now catch me. Don't misunderstand me. We've laid the foundation. Listen to how I'm going to close. Then the disciples understood that he, Christ in William Branham, when he spoke of the Pope and he got excited, then understood they that he spoke to them of Pope John the Baptist. That scripture has come back like we said this morning. Compound meaning.
Amen.
When Brother Branham was speaking about that Pope, it was Christ in Brother Denny.
Yeah.
And that Pope, God knew, would come with the name John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And many believers, I'm saying this humbly, are still looking for the quote to be fulfilled in America when the prophet says it's past tense.
Amen.
They are just like the disciples of old. When the rapture comes upon us, somebody's going to say, "Wasn't there supposed to be a pope from America?" And the prophet will say, or God will say, "It's past and you didn't even know it."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoyed that praise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
May the Lord bless your brother George richly. And then we'll talk too much. I want a brother Gary to come and sing, and then maybe a brother Alfred can pray before we go. Praise God. Brother Gary comes. Lord bless you.
Amen.
Yeah. Father, we thank you upon this night for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank that we can call upon your name once again. Father, we know that in you, Father, you understand all things. Father, there's nothing hidden from you. You know the secret things. And Father, how we do appreciate you, and your grace and mercy just lifts us up from
Hallelujah.
The realm of this confusion of this day and
Amen.
Brings us to a place, Father, that we hear a certain sound.
Amen.
Father, that's all that we desire. Father, we're thinking of those days gone by when Peter would warn the disciples and say, there's many things that Paul said that are hard
yes,
to be understood.
Yes,
Father, but it was so clear to you. Father, how we do thank you and appreciate you. Father, the revelation of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, help us even as we preached upon this night, each of us, Lord, to humble ourselves. That, Lord, you may come up higher and see these wondrous things that, Father, are hidden inside of you, Lord. Thank you for the things that you have revealed.
Amen.
You continue to lead us, Lord, as our Messiah. Father, thank you that you've stored our treasures for
us.
In this age, Lord, thank you for the things that you've revealed, the things that you've done. And, Father, the things that you don't understand. We just wait upon you because you always make things clear. We thank you for the meetings that you had this weekend. We thank you, Lord, for the light that you have shone. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you that in your time, Father, you have unveiled everything that we need to know. Father, you that has begun the good work in us. We just consecrate ourselves to you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. May you bless our brother that has ministered upon us.
Amen.
Let your hand be upon him continually, Lord. May you bless him wherever he would go. You lead him and guide him, Lord, as he get in the aeroplane. Father, you guide his footsteps with prayer. Father, you lead him, Father, to the places, Lord, that you ordained him to be. Bless his wife, Lord. Bless his congregation.
Amen.
Father, I pray for Brother Tommy as well. Father, you know his need at this time. You know his desires before thee. You guide him, Lord. Father, you be his provider.
Yes.
Things you ask and pray. Father, you give him direction and give him wisdom. Father, you lead him, guide him, and continue to use him for your glory. We pray each minister this place, each officer, the host of duty. I dedicate them to thee, Father, even if they have traveled to the service today. Won't you grant traveling mercies as we go? Father, bring your people home in peace with us and pray as we meditate upon the goodness of God and the things that you have done. Father, may we depart with your blessing as we thank you for this night. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.